Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
8:46, 14 before 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Chilly out there right now, and this could be cool today, but enjoy it because we're going to be steadily warming through the weekend with highs on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday approaching 80 degrees, if not above. Paul Violas rejoins us, National Law Enforcement Security Analyst and CEO of Violas Group International. Violas Group International. We had a little technical glitch, and his visit was cut short the other day. He's the author of several books, one of my favorites, Safeguarding America, the Blueprint for Keeping You and Your Family Safe. And if you didn't hear the other day, I think this is like a manual of how to survive in America today, and it'd be a nice little stocking stuffer to give to teenagers and I would think young adults, especially going off to college. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. Great to join you again.
Thanks for taking the time. So the House committee today here in Louisiana is going to have a meeting on school safety. And I'm just wondering, if you were to testify before them, given, you know, what's happened with school shootings, what is the best way, what are the most recent practices, the best way to keep a school safe?
You know what, Tommy, I'm so glad that you wanted to talk about this, because I there are a few professions that I have greater respect for than teachers and educators. But I think we really need to look at the totality of what's happened in our schools over the last 20 years and how the culture of violence has penetrated not just the schools, but the school campuses and everyone that's surrounding that. And we can see that empirically. We know how much it's risen, but the common denominator is the thing we need to look at, and that's behavior. We're not looking at the bully that's coming in with a gun. We're looking at the kid that is and was being bullied. We're also looking at a lot of similarities in the behavioral profile to that of the workplace violence offender, which is odd because it looks like we're growing the problem. In that, and the real common nut there is that the kid that perpetrates acts of violence in a school tells people what he's going to do before he does it. And he tells them to who he's going to do it before he does it. And it's amazing how many times this happens. And forensically, when you start investigating these school shootings, Tommy, what you hear is, you know, well, I didn't think he was serious. Well, obviously he was. So I really think, in the totality of your question, the thing that would be most advantageous for us to do as a country is to start educating educators on these behavioral red flags, institute different policies inside the classroom and on the campus as to acceptable and unacceptable behavior, and start mitigating these actions earlier, as opposed to spending so much money on locks and barbed wire fences and physical security. I really think we're just locking the problem inside the campus.
So what would that look like? What would be unacceptable behavior? How would you change it so that you would look at it maybe even from both the standpoint of the bulliers, of those being bullied, and people that act out? What are you talking about exactly, Paul?
I'll tell you, and you know what, Tommy, I can even give you a live case that I'm working right now. And I can't get overly specific, obviously, because it's being litigated, but what I'll tell you is that the kid was being bullied. He was being picked on, and he was overweight, and he had a crush on a particular girl in his 10th grade class. And in doing so, some of the other boys that were more athletically inclined kind of talked to this girl into luring this kid in and then humiliating him in front of the entire class. Now, the kid goes home, he's devastated, he ends up coming back, and he starts uttering certain things in class to the small group of kids he was close to and to his neighbors about what he was going to do. And people blew him off, and they didn't pay attention to it. 11 witnesses, Tommy, 11 heard this kid say what he was going to do, and not one person said or did anything. Plus, and this is the person that I've got a bone to pick with, the teacher that was present during this humiliating behavior did absolutely nothing about it. So That's one example, Tommy. God knows if you and I had more time together, which I would love, I will tell you, there are a plethora of examples that are shining examples of what not to do,
so
which
is,
gives us the ability to mitigate.
Is it negligence, or is it that the teachers are afraid to say anything bad about the student because then they're going to have to deal with the parents? Or where does it fall through the loop, the hole, whatever?
Culture, Tommy, and you and I have talked about this before. Look, when we went to school years ago, I'm not going to date ourselves here, but when we went to school, it was a different culture. God knows I never wanted the teacher to call home because I knew what was going to happen to me.
Right.
That was a different story. You know, and my father had a belt that went around corners. That thing had radar and sonar built into that thing. I don't know how it worked. But the thing is that today it's a different culture. Teachers are always on the defensive. They're always having to defend themselves. And at the end of the day, we're not doing anybody any justice that way because things are getting blown off. I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to get labeled. Everybody's afraid of being labeled, so people don't do anything. But the consistency, and I say this so many times, Tommy, the common denominator in school violence is the behavior of the shooter that people recognize before it happens. That's the common denominator. And we can go through every single school shooting that we've had in the last 10 years, and we can find that is present.
Well, thank you, Paul. I appreciate your time. I really do.
Yes, sir. My pleasure. Have a great day, Tommy.
You too. It is 8:52, 8 before 9. I used to worry about the kid in the classroom. Now I'm worried about it as a teacher because that's what my kid is doing now, and it never ends, man. I'm telling you, right? As a parent, there's always something to worry about. 8:52 and a half, traffic now, WWL.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.